thank you for joining us as we discover nothing but the truth with David Johnston.
We all learn early in life that we've got to have answers. That's how you get through school. It's also how you get through life. And what we want to learn today from the scriptures is how we can answer every person the right way every single time. If you haven't got your teaching notes ready, please grab them quickly and a pen. I know you'll want to get these things down and preserve them. Because what we want to learn today, first of all, is the fact that we are to have answers. In fact, the scripture says that a man has joy from the answers that come from his mouth. So we're to have answers. Let's take a look at the scripture. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Now watch this. That ye may know how you ought to answer every man every time. We've got to learn to have right answers all the time. Let's look at another scripture. This one says, be ready always to give, look at this, to give an answer. Be always ready to give an answer. Look at this, to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is within you, and we're to do that with meekness and fear. And then the scripture says one more, that I might make thee to know the certainty of the words of truth. Now watch this. The reason why we want to know the truth and the certainty of the words of truth is simply this, that we might answer the words of truth to anybody who sends to you with a question or comes to you looking for a solution. So, let's learn how we can have the answers right every time. Before we do that, though, let's learn that there are three kinds of questions that will come your way. The first kind of question is what we call, or rather what the scriptures call, foolish questions. And they're called foolish questions because they have no answer. They not only have no answer, they also produce mocking. For example, you've probably heard some of these, like, can God make a four-legged tripod? Well, of course, there's such a contradiction in here. It's a foolish question. And somebody asked, can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it? And it's interesting how foolish questions circulate and people spend a lot of time on them. And a shocking thing occurred to me. I met with a professor of a university who was a of a religious persuasion. I'll not mention that. But he said that he was in touch with people that lived on the planet of Venus. And he said that life on Venus was so long that when they sent Morse code, it took a whole day for a dot and a whole week for a dash. Absolutely caught up in foolishness. You will have people come to you with foolish questions. And remember, they don't have an answer. They produce mocking and they cause arguing. And we do not want to answer foolish questions. In fact, I want you to get this scripture really down, and the reference at least, so that you know that when you hear a foolish question, you will have the correct response every time. And here is the correct response in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. Look at this. But foolish and unlearned questions, look at this, this is the word, avoid them, knowing that they do create or gender produce strife. In fact, let's look at another one. But avoid, and this is the key word here, avoid foolish questions, for they are unprofitable and vain. In fact, there's probably four verses just in the New Testament that talk about foolish questions and the fact that we are to avoid them. Here's another scripture. Shun profane and vain babblings, because they will increase unto more ungodliness. If somebody asks us a foolish question and we involve them, there's no answer to it. It causes mocking. You see, when we leave them, their condition will be worse than when we found them. So what we're supposed to do is just plain avoid foolish questions. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be likened unto them. And funny, the scripture says next, answer the fool according to his folly. lest he be wise and think that the foolishness that he's got is really wisdom. So remember that the first kind of question you'll get is a foolish question. The second kind of questions the scriptures warn us about are what we call unlearned questions. First, foolish questions, and then unlearned questions. Now, unlearned questions do have answers, but either we or they cannot fully comprehend them. And so we are not only to avoid the foolish, but look at this scripture now. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. So we have foolish questions, we have unlearned questions, but then we also have what we call sincere questions, and these really do have answers. What do you do when someone asks you a sincere question? And the answer to that is simply this, that we should search out the answers to those sincere questions, apply them to our lives, and then be ready to give those answers to others who might ask them. In fact, let's look at the scripture. Look at this. Ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you, and implied here is a sincere question. So that's our subject. Let's get into it. How do you answer every question correctly? And so let's learn the principles from Scripture on how to answer every question the right way. Number one is we must first understand the question. Before you seek to be understood, seek to understand. What's this person asking? Well, why does this come first? And the answer is simply right here in the scripture. He that answers a matter before he has heard the details of it, to him it is folly and it is a shame. It is folly because you might answer the wrong question. It's a shame because you demonstrate a lack of meekness and fear. So we are to, first of all, make sure we understand the question before we try to give an answer. And then, secondly, learn to answer softly. Here's why. Scripture says a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So we want to learn to answer softly. Now, this does have to do with how loud our voice is. It does have to do with decibels. But it also has to do not just with the loudness or the softness, but the softness in terms of being tender and understanding and gentle whenever we answer somebody's question. We want to answer softly so that those who are listening will have to apply themselves to hear. We want to answer softly so that any other distractions will have to be turned off or removed in order to hear the answer. We want to answer softly so that the substance of our answer is heard and not the emotions with which we might have otherwise expressed it. You want to answer softly so that we don't invoke and provoke other people to an artificial reaction. Even in religious things, there's a lot of rah-rah, yelling and screaming and inciting. We don't have to do that. We can let the message do the work. We speak softly. You see, the next part of that same verse says this, "The tongue of the wise uses knowledge the right way, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness." You see, answering softly and these other principles we're going to see in a few moments enable us to let the answer come out with power, with intent, with severity, if you please, with sobriety, calm, cool, and collected, solid content is going to come answers. Not foolishness, not a lot of rah-rah. And certainly, remember, this verse of Scripture says, answer softly, because if someone else is looking for or spoiling for a fight, you'll be able to turn that away. But if you speak provokingly to people, it will stir up anger in them and it will have confrontation. So First of all, of course, we want to learn to find out what the question is before we seek to answer it. And then secondly, we want to answer softly. Thirdly, we want to learn to answer graciously. Take a look at these scriptures. Let your speech be always with grace. Always speaking graciously. Seasoned with salt. Look at this. That ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. The key to answering every man, the right way here, is to always speak graciously. Oh, if we could only use that when spouse talks with spouse. But you know, we have learned that when we answer someone to add a sentiment, add an emotion, add aggravation, add other kinds of feelings, when in fact we ought to be speaking to everybody, including our spouse, we ought to be speaking softly and graciously. Here's an interesting verse in the Bible. Look at this. Her husband arose and went after her. Look at this. It's really warm, isn't it? To speak friendly unto her and to bring her back again. Whenever relationships start to deteriorate and arguing and animosity spring up and cold wars, and then we get back together and somebody says something that just ticks us off the right way, or we do it to them. The key is found right here. You can win the affections of your wife back again, or your husband. You can win your child. Don't yell and scream, somebody said, unless the house is on fire. Don't yell at children, because we're to speak softly and graciously. It's a scary thing to realize today that tempers get so out of control so quickly that even in the best of times, we just haven't learned how to speak peaceably to one another. How should you answer your wife? Softly and graciously, always with grace, the Scripture says. And then fourthly, the Scripture says that we should answer with meekness. Be always ready to give an answer to every man. The reason for the hope that is in you. Look at this. And do it with meekness. With meekness. And this is a wonderful quality of the Lord Jesus. He said, I am meek and lowly. Come and learn of me. Do it like I do it. We must learn meekness. And the truth of the matter is that the Scripture says that when we speak to people, we must do it with meekness. Here's another verse that says that thing. Watch this now. Because the servant of the Lord must, look at this, we must never get into strife. But, look at this, be gentle unto all men. And by the way, this word men is not a gender issue. It includes women. And if we won't strive, and if we'll be gentle, we are able to teach, and we'll just sit back and be cool and patient, and watch this, and if we'll do it in meekness, meekness is my strength under God's control. And look at this, then we will get to instruct those that oppose themselves. Do you know angry people are really against their own selves? And then the next part of the Scripture says, if God might even give them repentance, because they need to be recovered out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at their will. And they just are out of control. And the way to bring control is to answer them properly, is to answer them softly, answer them graciously, answer them with meekness. And then look at the next part of the same verse. Answer not only with meekness, but with fear. Now, let's spend just a moment here, because I don't mean the fear of the person you're talking to. I'm talking about the fear of God. You see, the Scripture says that the fear of man brings a snare. You should never fear a human, but you should certainly fear God. The fear of man will stop you from thinking clearly. The fear of man will prevent you from saying what you should, the way you should, but not the fear of God. We are to answer people with meekness, and with the fear of God. Well, you know what the fear of God is. The fear of God is just simply this: the knowledge that God is watching everything I do, listening to everything I say, and that someday I am also going to stand before Him and give an account for every idle word that I speak. Answer graciously, answer with meekness, answer with the fear, realizing that God is listening to the answers that you're giving this person. And it will bring a special focus to the way we answer. And then we should answer in an orderly fashion. Look at this. In the book of Job, Job said, "If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order. Put them in a sequence before me." Some logical routine. That's how the Scripture does it. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So we're to learn to answer every man, and we're to do it graciously, in meekness, and in the fear of the Lord, but we're to do it in an orderly fashion. There should be some logical progression to the answers that we give. And then we want to learn to answer when we are prepared. Look at this Scripture. Ready always to give an answer to every man. This is the key word here. To be ready. To be prepared. Do not fake it. Don't try to answer something you don't know the answer to. Be prepared to answer. Now, I want to just give a little exception to this, because there are times when Jesus told us that we would be called up before councils, and that there was no way that we could premeditate what we should say. And so He said, at that moment, don't take any thought what you shall say, for in the selfsame hour it shall be given you, and it shall not be you that speak, but it shall be the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't mean you're not prepared. You may not have been able to anticipate the questions and the issues, but we're spiritually prepared. We should always be ready in order to give an answer. We know this Scripture so well. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of the truth, of truth rather. In fact, here's another great verse. The heart of the righteous, look at this phrase, studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Study to answer. Get prepared to answer. If you know that people have certain kinds of questions, look to the answers. Be prepared. Be ready. If Scripture says, "Seest thou a man hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than in him." Do not be quick. Rather, be prepared. And then, number eight, let's learn to answer truthfully. Job said, "How do you think you can comfort me, seeing that in your answers there is falsehood?" We must learn to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Our answers should be truth. In fact, one of my favorite scriptures, "that I might make thee to know," look at this, I love this, "the certainty of the words of truth." Look at this, the reason is so you can answer the words of truth to them that send unto you. So we're to answer truthfully. And then number nine, we should learn to answer with God's point of view by answering from God's word. Let me give you a moment to get that down. Answer with God's point of view by answering from God's word. What people really need today when they ask a question is not another mere human opinion. What they really need is God's opinion. They need God's perspective. They need God's viewpoint. That's exactly what wisdom is. Wisdom is seeing and responding to life situations from God's point of view. And that's why this Scripture is so delightful. Let me just back up and look at this Romans 11:4 with me. What saith the answer of God unto him? Somebody asked us a question, what we should be saying was, well, what would God tell him if God was giving him the answer? And then that's the question we ought to answer, and that's the truth we ought to give them. That's the answer we ought to speak. The The scripture says that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So if we're going to speak, then let's speak and say exactly what God is saying. And if we're going to minister, let's minister as of the ability which God give us, that God might be all in all and be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. So we want to learn to answer people's questions from God's point of view, and you can only do that by answering from God's word. The psalmist put it this way, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that's trying to outsmart me or to reproach me. How will I have the stuff of the right answers? Look at this. Because I trust in thy word. So we're learning here the principles now on how to answer. And this one is to answer truthfully, give them the truth, and give it to them from God's perspective by giving it to them from God's word. And then number 10, learn to answer with confidence. Confidence is really, really important. God doesn't want you answering in trepidation, but rather he wants you to have confidence. Look at this scripture with me. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. You see, when we answer people according to the truth, according to the scriptures, and give them God's perspective on things, we know that we can do so with confidence. I want you to jot down in your notes a really important definition. It's a definition for this word confidence, because I have discovered, and I needed to, because when I was a young boy, I was so filled with fears. I was afraid to play in the street. People, I'd leave my bicycle and go and hide until they walked by and then go back out. I was afraid to sleep at night and let my hands dangle over the edge of the bed. Something might come and nibble on my fingers. I was afraid of teachers. I was afraid of my fellow. I had a lot of trepidation until after I became a Christian at the age of 18. My confidence has been growing ever since there, but I want to tell you precisely why. And if you lack confidence, I want you to know that you can answer people with confidence, because here's what confidence is. Here's how you get it. Confidence is being able to quote the scripture behind every action you take. Quote the scripture behind every thought you think. Quote the scripture behind every word you speak and every motive of your heart. Confidence comes from being able to quote the scripture behind the actions, the thoughts, the words, and the motives. And that's what will give you genuine confidence. That means that the things you're saying are endorsed by God, endorsed by heaven. You've got an authority here upon which to speak. And it's a wonderful way to live. Confidence, being able to quote the scripture behind every action you take, every thought you think, every word you speak, and every motive of your heart. Well, let's do a quick summary before we conclude. How do we answer every question that's asked us the right way? Number one, we answer it after we understand the question. Number two, we answer it softly. Number three, we learn to answer graciously. We learn to answer with meekness, control. Remember, my strength under God's control. Never out of control, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. Never so caught up in some emotion that we fail to have our minds centered on the things of the Lord and on the truth. Answering with meekness. And then we answer in the fear of the Lord, knowing that God is listening to our answers. And we want to provide the right answer that he can approve of in every answer we give. And then we want to learn how to answer in an orderly, sequential way. We want to learn to answer when we are prepared and not until. And we want to learn to answer with the truth. The whole truth, nothing but the truth. And we want to learn to answer from God's perspective by answering from the Word of God. And then lastly, you can learn how to answer every question the right way by answering with confidence, being able to quote the Scripture behind every thought you think, every word you speak, every action you take, and every motive of your heart. Now, if we will learn to implement these 10 principles in answering, whether it be our spouse, our children, a high school teacher, a college professor, or an employer, there are three benefits that will come to us every time. And let me tell you what they are. Number one, the benefits of right answers. Number one, God is glorified when you give a right answer. Number two, the person to whom you give the right answer gets the blessing of a solution that's been time-tested, proven, verified, accurate, precise, and they'll be blessed by that. They'll get an answer to their questions. That's one of the reasons why God takes you and I through troubled and difficult times, so we can learn to find the answer. Then we can take that answer and give it to somebody else. That's why in high school, in college, whether it's whatever the subject is, if it's algebra, the teacher gives you an algebra problem. Why? So you can find the solution and then move on to a tougher problem. That's what life is about, finding solutions. And by the answers of our mouth, God gets glorified, others get blessed. And look at this. Thirdly, we receive joy. I tell you, there are many sources of joy, but this is one of them. Look at the scripture with me. Because a man has joy, look at this, by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. In fact, this is so delightful. And you can have the right answers by simply following these 10 principles. You'll be right every time. And you'll be able to do the action exactly to what the scripture says. Look at this one. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth the right answer. You can give the right answer every single time. And when you do, you'll be able to go, so good. It feels so good to give the right answer every time.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.